You may be seated.
Is a translation, and I enjoy its approach. I want to reread that last part where it says, "There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life." I like that. They were baptized into a changed life. I get up in the morning on Sunday and I want to come to church. I want to come to church to see you and this church and sing in the choir. And there's more than that. I need a blessing from God. Oh, don't tell me I can get it on the golf course. I've played golf, and I didn't get many blessings there. I come here because this is the place uniquely where I know I will receive a blessing from God that I need in order to carry out the rest of my day, my week, my life. When Jane and I were dating 900 years ago, almost 50 years ago, she knows that we would be riding through the country and I'd see a church and I'd want to stop and look at it, go in it if possible. There's something about the church standing there that reminds us of God. When we are at home asleep, when we are away, when we are absent from the house speaks to those who pass by. And it's almost like it's saying, God is here. God is among us. God is offering us a blessing. So you and I came to church this morning, I believe, I hope, to receive something we can't get anywhere else, a blessing from God. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus instituted the Last Supper, he said, whenever you eat and whenever you drink, remember me. So for 2,000 years, it's hard to grasp, men and women of all stations of life have found a way to receive communion on the edge of the battlefield, in the ship, by their bedside when they are ill, in a beautiful church, in a little church that's not so pretty, maybe ready to fall down. Don't you just love that little church down Oyster Point? It's near the intersection of Oyster Point Road and Jefferson Avenue. It's about this big. You see that church? There are people in there receiving a blessing. They don't have much. You know they don't. Well, there they are, packed and jammed into that place on Sunday morning and other times. For 2,000 years, that business of communion has been going on. And men and women have been receiving communion and feeling close to Jesus and have been blessed. John Wesley said, that we ought to receive communion as often as possible, and it was a converting sacrament. In other words, it did something more than just words. I agree. Back in the late 1970s, 52 men, Americans, were taken hostage in Iran. And they were kept there for an indefinite period, and they wondered when they were hostages if they would ever be free or if they would be killed, hanged, shot, beheaded, so forth. There was a Presbyterian minister, as I read the story, amongst them. And he was blindfolded for a while. And he began to think, what can I do here that will change this place for me from the horror it is to the blessing it may become? Hang with me now. And so he said, I'm going to have communion. I'm going to have communion right here. And so in his mind, he arranged a chalice and the bread. He did. And he had the fair linen, and he had the scriptures. And when he was finished in his mind, there it all was in his mind. Every day, every day, he reached for the cup and he reached for the bread until he could smell the wine, he could smell the bouquet of the freshly baked bread. That's how real it became. He remembered scriptures that he had preached on over the years. I was telling early church that, you know what I discovered when I retired that I didn't know I would discover? Not hidden money. After all was said and done, and we got into a routine of our daily lives outside of the active pastoral ministry, I discovered I could think. I had time to think, meditate, and ponder a lot of stuff that I didn't have time for when I was rushing to a Bible study, hurrying off to the hospital, going to the funeral home, going to somebody's house. What does the preacher do all week? Man, you couldn't keep up with most of us. Our families hardly can. And so when all of that was over and, you know, stop the world, I want to get off, I had the opportunity to sit and think and ponder. And Blackie, I picked up reading through the Bible in a year in this church, because he does it all the time. And I took it home, and I read the Bible through at my leisure every day, even in the ICU, where I was for several days. I had time to do it. I didn't have to rush off to the UMW director's meeting. No harm intended. Even though I did. I cherished those things. I had time to think. So this Presbyterian minister, day after day, not knowing where his life was going, or that it would survive that hostage event had time to think about the cup, the bread, the moment, the scripture, the Lord. And he received that every day. He survived. On the 444th day of their captivity, they were freed when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. You remember that? 1979 or so. He came home, the loss of a great deal of weight, all of them did, because they weren't fed much, except he had celebrated the presence of God in that place. Back to the scripture. There at the Jordan River, the ordinary Jordan River, where they had fished and swum and washed their clothes, and where they had used the water for cooking, they came there to confess their sins and to be baptized into a changed life. Don't take your religion for granted. Don't take your church at 1209 Country Club Road for granted. It's waiting to bless you. It's waiting to give you a blessing in the midst of your trial and tribulation, in the midst of your boredom, in the midst of your wonder, where will I go from here? In the midst of your wonder, will I live tomorrow? Because we don't know if we will or not. As you come and I come to this Holy Communion, come for a blessing. Come for a change. Come for the Lord. Amen. And now, if I can find my breath and a hymnal, let's turn to page 12. I got one. Here's one. Page 12 in the front part of the red hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not fulfilled to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have changed against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard God's cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now we're ready for the offering, and we have some handsome receivers of the basin. Looks like they're all McFalls. Let us not appear before the Lord empty-handed, but let every one of us give as we are able. We give thee but thine own, whate'er this gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Be seated. Turning again, if you will, to the words of the great thanksgiving, which are found on page 17 in the front of the hymnal. Well, that doesn't look right. It says 17. Okay, 13. All right. The musical response is on 17. We're going to page 9. No, this is... All right. I have to be guided in this. Page 13. The man who was held hostage didn't have to worry about the page, did he? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good thing, joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth, and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in